Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. With the Giants playing down in Anaheim this weekend, today's guest is Angels television play-by-play announcer Victor Rojas. But before we talk to Victor, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Victor, the Angels got off to such a great start, and then they ran into the Red Sox, slowed them down a little bit. But so far, how has the season been going? What kind of optimism is there around the Angels this year?
Well, Joe, I mean, there's clearly a lot of optimism, considering the moves that the Angels made in the offseason and the culmination of all of those moves being in December when Shohei Ohtani decided to select the Angels and come to Southern California. So, going into the season, spring training, even for that matter, a lot of people were very pumped up about the 2018 campaign, and the team got off to a terrific start. You mentioned the Red Sox coming to town. It's a very, very good, deep lineup. They can swing it, and we've seen it so far in Orange County, and the hope is that the Angels are able to bounce back a little bit against the San Francisco Giants for this coming weekend.
Now, Ohtani was going to miss the Giants, or the Giants were going to miss him, I guess, anyway, because of the rotation. But now he's got this blister. How serious is that? How much time do you think he's going to miss?
I don't know that he'll miss any time at all. I think it's something that he has dealt with in the past, even in Japan. He had a little bit of a blister towards the end of spring training and clearly didn't bother him through the first two starts against Oakland, one up at the Coliseum and one here in Southern California. So we think it'll be fine, but it's just kind of a wait-and-see thing. He'll probably throw a bullpen here in the next day or so and kind of get a feel for how things are with that. And it was clearly something that stood out in the start against the Red Sox on Tuesday, the fact that he just had no grip whatsoever on his splitter and or his slider, and he became a one-pitch pitcher. And doesn't matter if you throw 100 miles per hour in the big leagues, guys are pretty much geared up if you're a one-pitch guy to hit whatever you're throwing up there, especially on a fastball. And that's what the Red Sox did. They made him pay for it. And that's why Socha decided to lift him after two innings. But overall, he should be fine. And we're being told that has no effect whatsoever on swinging the bat. So if the Giants do miss him from a rotation standpoint, you probably will not miss him from a DH spot for him, because he more than likely will be in the lineup.
Yeah, and that's been fun to watch so far. I mean, hitting three home runs in the first eight games with 11 RBIs and 11 for 30, just swinging the bat great. So take us through what happened there in spring training, because he wasn't swinging the bat so well. I mean, people wondered if he was even going to make the team. And then what happened once the regular season got underway?
I think, Joe, to be perfectly honest with you, I think it's with any player that comes over from a different culture, different a background, and trying to figure things out on the fly. I think that was there was an adjustment period for him. I can only imagine what it's like being known as the Babe Ruth of Japan, to have to come to the United States and all of a sudden the spotlight becomes even brighter. You're on the world stage and having to perform while trying to figure out the guys that are on the mound and what you yourself are doing on the mound. So I think you've talked about this over the years with anybody you talk with in baseball. Spring training numbers don't mean anything. I just think the spotlight was that much brighter on Shohei because of all of the hype coming over from Japan. But he's an incredibly cerebral young man. He's just 23 years of age, essentially just out of college, if you will. And, you know, he made some adjustments, and he certainly made the adjustments early on. He got rid of the leg kick, went to a toe tap, and he did that in a matter of just a couple of days in the freeway series when we played the Dodgers at the end of spring training. And, you know, he goes up to Oakland, very first pitch of his big league career, rips a single to right field, and here we go, you know. And so I think sometimes we get overly excited. I don't know. I think society today seems like if you are someone that comes with a lot of hype, people want to jump on the bandwagon to try to knock you down and step on you a little bit more so or a little bit quicker than the average Joe. But Joe, he's a great kid, very smart. He's going to continue to make adjustments as teams will continue to make adjustments to him. And I think right now it's a perfect scenario for him. You know, Mike Trout's still the best player in baseball. You still have Albert Pujols chasing 3,000 hits. And, oh, by the way, you have Shohei Ohtani batting in the seventh or eighth spot in the lineup. That's a good situation for him, so he doesn't have to feel the burden of feeling that I need to carry this team and help this team win as many games as possible because it's on my shoulders. No, it's on Trout's shoulders and the rest of the guys. He's just a role player in the situation as he continues to evolve.
Well, obviously, the kid is just a great athlete to pull this off. And you wonder why this didn't happen before because, you know, there have been other players that have come along that, you know, wanted to do both. But there was always that feeling that, you know, you really have to concentrate on one or the other. I think organizations really pushed a player in that direction where, hey, you're a pitcher. You're not a hitter. You know, we'll let you hit every once in a while. You know, like the Madison Bumgarners of the world where they have the power and it's great to watch them when they're on their pitching day. But to pull this off, I mean, to be able to concentrate on both and constantly be you know, honing your craft in both areas, it's pretty remarkable. So how do you think that he does pull it off compared to other athletes who maybe wanted to but didn't get the opportunity?
I think it's something that it's just it goes back to the young man itself. I mean, the terrific work ethic that he possesses and something that he's been doing for a long time. I mean, got drafted out of high school in Japan and signed immediately and was given the opportunity to kind of figure out a routine. And that's what the fighters did in Japan, is that they figured out a routine. He wanted to do both things. They drafted him knowing that, and they gave him every opportunity to do so. So I think when you're in that mindset and from the get-go, coming out of high school and right into the professional ranks, and a team is willing to acquiesce to everything that you are looking for as far as being able to do both things, I think it makes for a good situation. I believe that the Angels' pitch to Shohei and his people was just that. We're willing to work with you. We're willing to have you do both things and have them done at the major league level, at least give you the opportunity to do so. And I think that's why he ended up with the Angels in this situation. So I think you have to have a special person from a mental standpoint, from a physical standpoint, and from a work ethic standpoint, that you've got to have someone that's capable of having and comprising all of those facets in order to be able to give him that opportunity. And you're right. I think today, I mean, look at Hunter Green, the kid out of Southern California, was drafted as a shortstop and a pitcher. I think it was the Cincinnati Reds organization. And now he's focusing only on pitching down in the minor leagues, but he was, you know, a very good position player at the high school level. You know, Zach Greinke, he's another guy that comes to mind who was a very good hitter in high school and a terrific pitcher. But organizations such as the Royals at that time figured that his best value and the use of Zach was on the pitching front. And you go from there. So I don't know, maybe this opens the door in the future for more guys that are capable of doing both things and giving them the opportunity to at least attempt to do both things. But it takes a lot, right? It takes an entire team to be able to do that because it messes with the rotation, it messes with the lineup a little bit. So you've got to have a very special player that you're willing to try that with.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think that will spur some teams to look at it, and some other players will be saying, hey, if he could do that, I could do that. Now, you did mention Mike Trout and being the star of the team, and I've noticed that, you know, he's walking a lot. It's hard to work around him, though, with this lineup now. I mean, as you mentioned, bringing in different players like Ian Kinsler, who's off to a great start, and, you know, B.J. Upton is good surrounding him, and Pujols, and, you know, bringing in Zach Cozart. So having, you know, all these different players around him, I would think it would make it pretty hard to work around Trout.
Yeah, it's a great question because you've got a guy like Mike Trout that is so capable of carrying a team and a franchise as he has the last six-plus years. to all of a sudden add these type of players, you know, it kind of adds to the fun and the excitement as an Angel fan. And it's been a tough couple of seasons for the Angels. You go back to 2014, they won 98 games before getting swept by the Royals in the postseason. But overall, because of the injuries to the rotation the last two seasons, it's been a tough go, even though they still made a push for a wild card spot. I don't know how they did it, missing Trout for as much time as they did last year with the thumb injury. They still managed to come out and put numbers on the board and score some runs, even though the pitching was dinged up. So when you have Billy Epler going out, and really the first order of business for Billy was taking care of the Justin Upton situation. Justin came over to trade from the Tigers, had an opt-out in his deal that had 4 years left on it, and so he opted out, but it was something that it was amicable, and both sides wanted to do something, and they got it done as quickly as possible. And I think that kind of set the thing in motion for the Angels offseason, because left field has been a revolving door, same with second base, same with third base, and it allowed Billy to kind of settle in and just say, you know what, these are the targets that I want, and I'm going to go after them now. And that's exactly what he did with Cozart and Kinsler. So, and you know what, from a foresight standpoint, a great job by Larry Reynolds and Justin to decide, this is the team I want to be with, and let's get this done quickly, considering how the free agent market played out. He may still be one of those guys sitting at home. So it's been a really good offseason. It's been a good start to the year, and overall it's a good bunch of guys, good chemistry in this clubhouse. The pitching is one of those things that we'll have to wait and see, and hopefully the guys are able to stay healthy considering the last couple of years.
We'll have more with Victor Rojas right after this. When it comes to Giants baseball, family memories are created one summer at a time, and the same can be said for your family vacation. How about an experience you will never forget? Shasta Lake is one of the most beautiful places to visit in California, and there is no better way to experience it than to rent a houseboat from houseboats.com. Jones Valley and Silverthorne Resorts are located on the Pitt River arm of Shasta Lake, unquestionably the very best area of Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there with rentals ranging from the finest and largest houseboats available for rent in California to entry-level models for small groups or those new to houseboating. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Let's get that vacation planned. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. You mentioned Pujols, a future Hall of Famer. And, of course, if he gets a couple hits against the Red Sox on Thursday, we'll see. He might get 3,000 against the Giants. As we sit here podcasting on Thursday morning, he's 10 away from 3,000 hits in his career. What's it been like watching him? Because I know he was so bothered by the foot injury, and it was hard for him to be Albert Pujols. And it looks like he's off to a pretty good start.
He really is. It's the first offseason in many that he hasn't had something done, whether it was a cleanup of the foot or the plantar or the knee or anything like that. So he had a very clean offseason from that standpoint, lost some weight, did so because of the Shohei situation that he was going to DH more. That was forcing Albert to get back on the field. And, you know, Albert has won gold gloves before, and is so far so good when he's played at first base. He looks good, and I think he's more engaged. I think admittedly so, especially you go back 4 years ago when they decided that he's going to be more of an everyday type of DH. He doesn't like DHing. He'd rather be engaged playing a position and being able to do both than just a straight DH. And I don't know that it affected him from a numbers standpoint. Maybe it did, but he is off to a pretty decent start. I think he's starting to see the milestones that are ahead of him. Got 600 home runs last year. And really, Joe, when you start looking at it, if the long ball starts to come along and if he hits 20-25, Now you're talking about a guy that's going to have 3,000 hits, close to 650, with the potential, with still years on his contract, to get to 700 home runs and 3,000 hits. That's I would imagine that's something that would motivate Albert to continue to push forward and see what he could do year to year. So that's rarefied air when you're talking about 3,000 hits, 700 home runs.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. I wanted to tap into what your memories were of the 2002 World Series Angels and Giants, because, you know, in San Francisco, the memories, of course, are not so great. The Giants had the 3-2 lead. They had a 5-0 lead in the 7th inning of Game 6, and the next thing you knew, they lost that game, and they lost the series in 7. You know, do people down there, the Angels fans, still talk about that World Series and what the Angels accomplished to come back like that?
Yeah, for sure. I think the one thing that will always stick out in the mind of Angels fans, especially, you know, after the fact, is we hope that Russell Ortiz enjoys the game ball that Dusty Baker gave him right, when he's taken out of the game, you know, because that was the situation, right? You know, the Angels eventually battled back and picked up the world championship. But what a terrific World Series. For myself, I was working with MLB.com at the time, and I was back in New York, and I was covering the series from there, doing video highlights after games for now what is the juggernaut of MLB.com. back then, it was like these little tiny video clips that we'd have to play on a reel player. I don't think even reel exists anymore, but it was fun. And, you know, really, to me, it was, you know, the whole memory of Gene Autry and so many times that he got so close in 79 and 82 and 86 and having things go wrong. And, you know, just some of the bad things and unfortunate things that have happened, you know, with the Donnie Moore incident, so on and so forth. It almost seemed like you were snake bitten as a franchise, but then all of a sudden to be down and be able to battle back and win the first championship in Angels franchise history was very special. And obviously, a California feel to it with the NorCal, SoCal thing. There's no question that we're reminded of it daily, especially here at home when they kick off the programs up on the video boards. It's a history of the franchise, and a lot of it has to do with that 0-2 run through the playoffs and, of course, against the Giants.
Anybody heard from Scott Spezio, the man who hit the big 3-run homer?
he pops up here and there on occasion. He stops in and says hello, and I think they put a seat out there where that ball landed in right field in the corner there. They've marked that seat as that's where the ball landed. So it's I'm telling you, it's certainly and there's also, everyone is reminded too of the ball Barry hit up in the middle of nowhere in right center field that I think is still probably going on into orbit right now. So,
who do you look forward to seeing on the Giants?
Well, I'm looking forward to just seeing the entire, how this makeup of this ball club is. You know, it's a little bit older club. You know, I've always loved Andrew McCutchen as a player. And, whether it was injuries or whatever, just kind of faded a little bit there in Pittsburgh. But I like him with this club. I love the walk-off that he hit against the Dodgers last week. And just his reaction. So I think he's perhaps a little bit more reinvigorated playing with the San Francisco Giants. You know, Evan Longoria, obviously we've seen quite a bit of him. He's a Southern California guy that has been languished in Tampa Bay and getting a chance now to play for a veteran ball club. So I think if the Giants could put some pitching together and find a way and get obviously Samardzija and Bumgarner back and healthy, that's such a big blow. Going into a season, you lose your two big boys in that rotation. It puts the onus on a lot of guys that you weren't really counting on to start the year, I think the West is wide open, to be perfectly honest with you. As good as the Dodgers were last year, they've got some question marks, and obviously without Justin Turner in the lineup every single day, at least until May, there's going to be opportunities to win some games. Diamondbacks are a little scary of a team right now. The Rockies, you never can count them out, and the Padres are rebuilding. So I think it's going to be a fun run in the National League West.
And to finish up, just a little bit about you. I mean, being that you've been with the Angels for, I think, almost a decade now, how much are you enjoying it? Because being down there in Southern California, where the weather is a lot better than other places, especially right now with all those games that are getting postponed, it has to be pretty cool that, you know, you hardly ever have any games postponed, and you're with a team that is really trying to compete, and this year really looks good.
Yeah, I think this is my 9th season now. We had one game on a Sunday, and it was an ESPN game on a Sunday night that got canceled. because of a rain, and it worked out well for me because then I picked up a game and picked up a paycheck, so that's always good.
Right.
But overall, I mean, how can you complain? It is Southern California. The ball club for the better part of the nine seasons that I've been here, we have an owner that's willing to go out and get guys and try to win every single year. There's never been a tear down or a rebuild or a straight rebuild or anything like that. And now with Billy Epler in tow over the last couple of years, we've rebuilt the minor league system. And now you can look down and say, hey, man, we got this guy coming up the pipeline as a position player, as a pitcher. That hadn't been the case in years past. More times than not, we'd have guys coming up that were journeymen. You know, guys that have been around the league forever and just played for their seventh or eighth team. And, yeah, it made it difficult. But overall, how can you not love working in SoCal? And I've had a blast. It's an organization that I've known since 1982 when my dad started working for him. He had a chance to manage him in 88, and he stayed here till 92. And it's the organization I played minor league baseball with. So I have a lot of history with this franchise, including the Autry family. And I'm just very fortunate to be able to call Angels baseball.
Oh, and I forgot to ask, how is your Japanese? Are you speaking really well? I mean, you're able to converse with Shohei?
No, not yet. I do have the Rosetta Stone on my laptop. It's not easy to pick up. I think that's one of those languages you actually have to interact with someone that speaks the language to learn it and pick up the nuances of it. I could probably say a couple little words here and there, but I don't even want to embarrass myself trying to do that. But it's not an easy language. But I said it to my wife early on. I think the announcement was like December 9th or 10th of December when Shohei ended up picking the Angels. And I told my wife the next day, I said, I better pick up Rosetta Stone because I'd like to at least converse or, you know, little things. You know how it is. It's like I think it breaks the ice and it makes the communication between you and a player that much easier, at least.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks down the barrier, you know, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying. I'm still not there yet. I'm too much of a perfectionist, though, and I think that's my downfall.
Well, when you get there, then you can be like John Miller and you can imitate Vin Scully in Japanese. So that would be
pretty
good.
Yeah, I'll stay away from trying to imitate anybody. I have a hard time just being myself, for Pete's sake.
Well, you're doing a great job there in Anaheim, Victor. Thanks so much for the time. And enjoy this upcoming series here with the San Francisco Giants and the Angels.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Always great talking with you.
That's Angels television play-by-play announcer Victor Rojas. Join us again next week for another edition of Inside China Basin. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on thesportsvirus.com.